Argument is Bublitz versus Cotty. Mr. Banky.
May it please the court. I think in this particular high-speed scenario that's presented to you, we first have to obviously look at Lewis versus Sacramento, which is the benchmark case now that has come down.
I don't understand that. This just seems like a negligence case.
Well, Your Honor,
I don't see what Lewis has to do with it.
Well, we believe, Your Honor, that the 14th...
They didn't hold a negligence as a basis for Section 1983 liability.
Negligence, I would agree, is not a basis for...
So that's what we have here, negligence.
I don't believe we do, Your Honor. I believe we have intent, purposeful intent.
Oh, well, really, now, the officer didn't intend to hurt innocent people. That's ridiculous.
Well, actually, though, Your Honor, the way that intent standard is set out by Lewis, it's a proof of whether he intended to harm the suspect also. And consequently, we have innocent bystanders who were harmed as a result.
Well, that would be a transferred intent case, but he didn't want to injure the fleeing suspect. He wanted to stop him, since the suspect fleeing at, 100 miles an hour or something was obviously a menace to everybody on the road. So I don't see how intent gets into the picture there.
Well, I think, Your Honor, if we, to the best we can do that, we've obviously deposed him. And if you look at the totality of the facts of the case, which I think is required by Lewis, I think there's a genuine issue of material fact that he intended to harm the suspect. I agree with the court.
Well, what would be the evidence of that?
The evidence starts with him being off duty.
Now, that's not evidence of intending to harm anyone being off duty.
Well, we have to look at the totality of the facts.
No, forget totality. What is your strongest basis for supposing he actually wanted to injure this fleeing person rather than just stop him?
He decided to deploy this Stinger spike system before he ever arrived at the scene.
So what?
Well, wouldn't you think it would be prudent for him to see what the civilian traffic was on a congested, dense interstate?
No, what you would say is, I want him to stop that car, so I'm going to go to the scene with the intent of deploying my spikes. But obviously, if the circumstances at the scene make that mistaken action, I won't do it. I don't think whether that has anything to do with intent.
But see, he testified, Your Honor, that he made the decision to deploy the Stinger spike system before he got there.
He made the irrevocable decision, so he was going to deploy it even if there was no car coming? That's ridiculous.
Well, Judge, that was his testimony. He had no intention of reconsidering, based on the civilian traffic, whether he was going
to
do it.
Impossible to believe.
Well, I guess in a sense, that's up for the fact finder to decide. Whether or not.
Some things that are too ridiculous to be submitted to a jury.
Well, in this case, we really have to look at it from two standpoints. One, if you take the position, which I think is accurate from this court's decision in Schaefer, that you have to show intent to harm or intent to worsen the legal plight, I think is the language that comes out of Lewis, or does the deliberate indifference standard apply? And it's our argument, Your Honor, on behalf of the plaintiffs, that the deliberate indifference standard should apply. And the reason it should apply is because this...
Deliberate indifference is fine, but I don't see any evidence of that.
And deliberate indifference, Your Honor, of course, would be a lesser standard than intent to harm.
Right, but I don't see evidence of that. He wants to stop this person. These Stinger spikes, they're supposed to slow down the car rather than stop it abruptly. And it's a trade-off. There's some danger in doing that, but to let a person go roaring down the highway at 100 miles an hour is very dangerous also.
Of course, Your Honor, the reason he's going 120 miles an hour is he's being chased at 120
well,
miles
honestly,
an hour.
Well, honestly, you're saying it's improper to chase a fleeing robber?
No, but Your Honor, when you get to speeds of that nature, 120 miles an hour...
No, the faster he's going, the more dangerous he is to the other people in the highway.
That's my point.
So the stronger the case for using these spikes, which are supposed to slow the car rather than produce an immediate blowout.
But Your Honor, you assume that that's what happened. These people avoid these spikes. That's just what Mr. James did. He was going along trying to avoid these spikes. He runs over them in an attempt, and he was trying to avoid them.
Well, that's the sort of thing that could happen. And the other thing that could happen is that the spikes aren't deployed, and the criminal has a crash at 120 miles an hour and kills a bunch of people.
But that probability is greatly enhanced to the detriment of innocent people when you deploy a system like that on a busy interstate.
Why, is there a history of stinger spikes causing all sorts of disasters?
Well, you have the testimony of Polly Hicks in this particular case, who was on the force for some 20 years, who was an accident reconstructionist, who was at the exit just before Deputy Durant, and she decided and disobeyed the order to deploy the sticks because she said
Did she have stinger spikes or some other type of stop?
She had stop sticks, but it is essentially
No, but they're
the
more
device.
Dangerous, aren't they?
No, Your Honor, it's essentially the same device.
I thought they weren't. I thought the stinger spikes were these hollow things, so that the hollow spikes, so that the air would be let out gradually.
My understanding is, Your Honor, that they are almost identical in their manufacture. There's really no practical difference. You might find some of that in the appendix because there is some information about the stinger.
It's kind of vague.
Well, I don't think the case should turn on that.
Well, I think it might turn on that,
because
of course. Because if she might think stop sticks were dangerous, but the stinger spikes were less dangerous.
That's not her testimony.
Did she testify about stinger spikes?
She refused to deploy
did
her...
Did she testify about stingers? Do we know that her stop sticks were identical, were stinger spikes rather than some other device?
My recollection would be, and I don't think this is in the record, but...
No, wait, just stick to the record.
Okay. I don't think there's any mention in the record of what type of system she had. If there is, I don't recall it.
Durant had already talked to his captain who gave him authority to use them, hadn't he?
Durant, Your Honor, made his decision before he got on the scene to use them. Then
called. Well, but when he at least I'm reading here,
yes.
He called his superior captain, Denny Bach, to inform his availability to deploy the device. Captain Diggs approved Durant's decision to use a tire deflation device. However, Captain Diggs instructed Sergeant Durant to deploy the device only if it was safe to do so. Was that the uncontested testimony?
That is his testimony after he said that I decided to deploy the stinger spike system before I got on the scene.
This goes with what Judge Posner is mentioning. It's not an irrevocable decision. He was instructed to only deploy if it's safe to do so.
Well, I look at that, and I look at the timing of his statement in his deposition. And on page 49 of his deposition is where he makes the statement. When I asked him, I said, was it your decision at that time to deploy the stinger spike system? And he said, yes. Later on in his deposition, after a break, he comes back and says, but I called Captain Diggs to talk to him about getting authority to use it, and then that testimony comes out very conveniently. I think that he had already made the decision.
You weren't going to ask him that question, though, were you?
I wasn't going to ask him a second time.
You weren't going to ask him if he got permission initially, were you?
I believe I asked him what the contents of his conversations were with Captain Diggs. So
I mean, you got an admission here, which helped you.
Yes.
You didn't want to throw in the fact that he got permission to use it.
I wouldn't have asked him a second time. But I think even though that occurred, Captain Diggs was actually in the chase himself. He was on the road. So I think that that also lends culpability to him in rendering that decision.
Why else would he, if he's an off-duty, whatever he's doing with his dogs, he's obviously not going to show up and stick the dogs on him.
So right.
He has this device in his car, which is about the only reason why I guess an off-duty policeman would interject, say, hey, I'm near this exit. I don't know if they do. I guess they come up exits so the guy can't get off. And then I think, don't you have to stream across the road and then pull him when the guy shows up
right.
or something? So
it's usually across one lane.
Well, that 465 is about four lanes, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so I don't know how you get it across one lane unless you, I don't know.
He did. He put it across the fast lane with his testimony, and he was like stationed at the median when
right.
he did
well,
that.
And I don't know where he was, but obviously, if there's too much traffic or something, he probably couldn't put him out. I don't understand it exactly, but I think the fact that he had him with him, isn't that the only reason he interjected himself?
It wouldn't have surprised me if he would have joined the chase anyway. But again, that's totally conjecture and speculation. The concern that the plaintiffs have is that he had so much time to deliberate his actions, and I would submit to you that it's a violation of the Bubba's 14th Amendment right to use the Stinger spike system on a dense, congested interstate with civilian traffic all around.
Inherently dangerous in that situation, you're saying.
Yes, it's inherently dangerous. And if you look at the totality of the circumstances in his testimony, he wasn't concerned about innocent civilians.
Well,
he was
not a safe way to use them based on your information.
No. They're normally used on a two-lane highway in the country. They're not used on an... And that's the other problem that we alleged in this case, that there was no training at all. No training at all as to when to deploy. There was a video as to how, but not a video as to when.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Your
Honor. Your time has expired. Ms. Carroll?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Judge Poster is absolutely correct. This might be a good negligence case, but it certainly is not a Fourth or Fourteenth Amendment case, and the court should affirm the district court's grant of summary judgment because there simply was no constitutional violation in this case. As to the Fourth Amendment claim, again, I agree with Judge Posner, there was absolutely no intent to injure the Bubblitzes or to seize them in any manner, and that is a requirement under the case law we've cited, Brower v. County of Inyo, County of Sacramento v. Lewis, and this court's holding in Schaefer v. Goetsch. The district court then appropriately went to the 14th Amendment to see if there was a due process violation because there was no seizure in this case. The plaintiffs have argued that a deliberate indifference standard should apply to the decision to deploy the Stinger spike system. However, clearly under the cases that I've just cited, again, the appropriate standard under this type of situation, a high-speed chase, calls for the shocks of conscience standard. There's absolutely no evidence in this case to support a finding of shocks of conscience. As we've discussed, as was discussed previously, Sergeant Durant stated in his deposition that he would not have deployed the Stinger spikes if he could not have done so safely. He got there and had approximately 10 seconds to decide whether to deploy the Stinger spike safely. Went to the fast lane where the speeding car was, deployed them, the car went through them, and then he retracted them so that no one else would strike them. So even under the deliberate indifference standard, there would be no deliberate indifference in this case because he did look at all the circumstances surrounding his actions. However, clearly it is a shocks the conscience standard. We would ask that the court uphold the district court's grant of summary judgment in this case.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Carroll, and thank you, Mr. Francis. Mm-hmm.